Welcome to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast, a product of the Health Policy Research Consortium, a CTIS program, your weekly podcast empowering communities to use policy as a vehicle to improve their health and learn how to mobilize your community to create positive change where you live, work, and worship. Wait not a minute more. It's time to get started with the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast.
Welcome to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Terrell,
and we're going to talk about the public policy process steps and how you can change policy in your community. Joining me today is Byron Soji Thomas, who is the Deputy Director of the Health Policy Research and Analysis at the Health Policy Research Consortium. Byron Soji Thomas, welcome.
Thank you, Patricia. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And this is a very important topic because there are so many corrections that we want to make in our community. Let's just take, for example, if I had a concern as an individual about the cars that are speeding along my residential roadway, when I have children and pets who are playing in the yard, I want you to help us understand the process steps that I would take to get speed humps in our residential streets. What would be the first thing that I would need to do to change policy?
Well, step one, identify the problem, which you've already done. Step two is identify potential problem solvers. That is, who could potentially help you with. And so there are any number of places you can go. You can begin with a start small and go big approach. So you could go first to your neighbors, perhaps through the homeowners association, go there and have a conversation or whatever the community association is, and raise the issue and ask your neighbors, are you concerned? If they are, wonderful. Then as an HOA or as a neighborhood group, you can go forward from there in numbers and have a conversation about who is the next person at the next level that should hear this. And the next level that should hear this would probably be city council, county council. And as a group, you could find that out, or as an individual, you could find out who would be the next person. So you would go city council or county council. And in that case, say if you lived in Montgomery County in Maryland, for example, you'd go to the Montgomery County Department of Transportation, for example, and go to them and say, I live in such and such a street in such and such a neighborhood, and this is the problem we're having. And then they probably would ask you, are there posted speed limits? Then you'd say yes or no. Or maybe they'd say, okay, are the speed limits covered by trees? Then you'd say yes or no, and then maybe they'll say, okay, well, maybe that's the first thing. Maybe the speed limit is not posted. People think it's 35 when it should be 25 or 15, or maybe we should go there and cut some trees so everybody can see them. But after identifying the problem, then you identify a potential problem solver. Then you start the conversation.
Okay, and so the other one you said identify, the first one is identify the problem. Number two, you said identify potential problem solvers, getting a group of people together, their strength in numbers.
Absolutely.
And then the third one, you say the conversation. Tell us about the conversation.
So the conversation is, so we have this problem. Who can help us solve it? Do we need a plan for resolution? Do we need to write letters? Do we need to make calls? How many is too many? Useful to just have one spokesperson. Who is the problem solver? When can we go there? Do they have office hours? Can I go there after hours? Are they having a town hall where I can go there and raise this issue? That's the conversation that should be happening in terms of leading toward the resolution.
And your second step, your fourth step, I should say, messaging and building support. What do you mean by that?
So if you have a situation like your speeding problem in your neighborhood, so it would be, okay, how do we talk about this? How do we talk about it so that we get the attention of the problem solver? So you could go to them and say, okay, Mr. Problem Solver, in my neighborhood, a visually impaired senior and a hearing impaired young person. Cars speeding through my neighborhood might affect them because they might not hear or see the car coming. Therefore, it is imperative that we do this quickly. We need to do this now. We need to do this in a hurry. And then you might get a question like, well, do you have posted speed limits in your street? And then you might say yes or no. If you say yes, and then they might ask, well, is there a tree covering the speed sign? Maybe we need to go there and go cut and trim the trees or get rid of it. And so that would be the messaging part. The building support part would be if the whole neighborhood shows up, then they know the whole neighborhood is concerned. If just you show up, they'll ask you, okay, are you the only one in the neighborhood or are you the appointed spokesperson? Then you can answer that question. But building support means that the more people that show up to make the complaint, the more they think there are people concerned.
And so the next step, you say, is a regulatory legislative process step. Tell us about that.
So once you've had the conversation, at that point, it is a matter of the problem solvers, who are the policymakers, deciding, okay, what is the best way to solve the problem? If it is simply a function of sending out a truck to cut the tree, that's one thing. If it is passing an ordinance that you need more signs, that's another. If it is now installing speed bumps, well, that's yet another thing. So it would be, what is the policy in the county for doing that? The policymaker should be able to tell you what the policy is. If it is about money for the speed bump and money for the crews to go lay down the speed bump, the policymaker will tell you what that process is and how quickly they can effect that change. So if it is that they need to write a new regulation, they'll tell you that. If you have already done your homework and you're familiar with these things, you would know ahead of time, okay, in my county, if I go to them, I should tell them that these things simply require a citizen to show up and ask for them. Or it might be that where you live, you'd have to wait for the next budget cycle, so because they might tell you, well, there's money in the budget to do this now, we'd have to wait. Or they might say, well, I'm not the person, this one policymaker might say, well, I'm not the person to do it, you might need to go over here. And then they'd refer you to the person who can have a direct influence on whether the next step happens. So if it is writing a new regulation or having to pass a new law to do it, then they'll tell you this is how it happens. Well, if it is about passing a new law, it might be that the people that pass the law are not in session till January. Then you'd have to wait in that case until January to do it.
Okay. And another step, you say, is to encourage supporters to help get the bill across the finish line. How do we do that?
So as I said before, building support means you get numbers. So once you have built the support, it is critical in these circumstances to finish the job, because you could go there and start the conversation. You might get interest. People might be interested in what you have to say. People might be even sympathetic. And then conversation fizzles, or the conversation doesn't go anywhere, or the conversation starts and then something more important or something more urgent comes up. The more urgent takes over your issue, and you go to the back burner. The idea here is to mobilize so that there's enough pressure so that not only is there interest and sympathy, but there's actual action that leads to resolution.
So you're talking about being the squeaky wheel, right? Continuing to be in front of them.
Yes, until the job is done.
Until the job is done. And a final process step, you say, is messaging and dissemination. What are you talking about there?
So once you get the job done and you get the desired outcome, say in this case you want the speed bump, if the speed bump is put in and you notice that cars are actually slowing down, then you put the word out and say, and tell the neighborhood, see, we had these cars speeding through here, now we have a speed bump, now we're noticing less and less, there are fewer complaints. And you know, if you had support in the HOA or in the neighborhood group, you go back to the neighborhood group and you blow the horn and say, forgive the pun, blow the horn and say, here, the work is done. We have the speed bumps, or as they say in the business, traffic calming device. And the job is done, and now we can disseminate and make sure people know, okay, not only is there a posted speed limit that people can see, now there's a speed bump.
Okay, great. Lots of good information here. Have we missed any process steps? Anything else that you want to add?
Well, these things, there might be a slight variation here and there depending on the issue, depending on the size of the problem, depending on the number of people affected. But these are the basic core steps that you would take to change policy as an individual citizen. The basic core elements will not vary all that much. There may be one or two more depending on the size of the problem or the number of people affected or the area in which you live. But the core elements: identifying the problem, identifying a potential problem solver, having a conversation, building support, actually getting the regulation or the law changed, mobilizing so that everybody who's affected is a part of the solution, and then getting the word out when the work is done. Those basic core building blocks don't change that much.
Well, this is awesome, and thank you for outlining the process steps, because aside from speed humps, there are so many different things that people can use public policy for to change their communities. Give us just a few ideas that come to mind.
Just think about things around you and ask yourself, if X were to go wrong, who can help me make it right? Just as a part of your own regular everyday, or keeping track of calendars. When is the HOA meeting? Can I go there and listen to the other issues that other people have? Keeping a calendar. When's the next election? Let me make sure I'm registered to vote. Keeping track of budget cycles. If, you know, you have the time to figure out the budget cycle for where you live, for your city, for your county, for your state, you know, just keeping track of, okay, the budget has this, but it doesn't have that. This might be important. Who do I talk to about that? When's the next town hall? When is the next conversation about X or Y? You know, things that some of these conversations are about things that haven't even happened, things that are down the road kind of things, 5-year, 10-year plans. Sometimes jurisdictions have conversations about them because they know they're coming up. They're trying to put feelers out to find out, how do the people that live here feel about this? We're not even ready to do it yet, but we might be ready in 5 or 10 years. So maybe we should talk about it now. Let's hear things like that. Just keep your eyes and ears open for conversations going on about things that affect your own life.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Byron Soji Thomas with the Health Policy Research Consortium. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Listening to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast. Remember, you have the power to use policy to improve your picture of health where you live, work, and worship. For more information on the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast, visit our website at www.hprc.info and like us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr.
The research and information that we report during this show was supported by the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities of the National Institutes of Health under award number 5U54MD008-60802. The content is solely the responsibility of the authors and does not necessarily represent the official views of the National Institutes of Health.